Welcome to a Believer's Voice of Victory Thanksgiving Week special. Today, learn what it means to operate in the kingdom of God as Kenneth Copeland teaches from the book of Mark on how to prosper God's way. Now, let's join Kenneth.
I want you to open your Bibles with me to the 10th chapter of Mark's gospel, please. This chapter in Mark 10 changed completely Gloria and my way of thinking. Mark chapter 10, verse 17, when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why call me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not, and honor your mother." Now, Jesus only mentioned 6 to him out of the 10. And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him or looking at him, it's more than just standing there looking at him. He beheld him. He looked on his heart. He really looked at this man, and he loved him. So this came out of love. "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Come, take up your cross and follow me." He was sad at that saying. He went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Hallelujah. Jesus looked around about and said to his disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were astonished at his words. You know why? Wasn't any of them poor. Peter, John, James, partners in a fishing syndicate. Matthew, a tax collector, a very wealthy man that nobody liked. He was a Jew, but he worked for Rome. And he was a very wealthy man. You can just go down the list. And they were all shocked. Now, one of the things that disturbed them, and Peter's about to bring it up here, they all heard Jesus say the same thing. He put it to this man a little bit different when he told him, "I want you to sell." Why would he tell him that? He was putting this man in a place to prosper him. But then he said, "Follow me." Now, what had he said to the others? "Don't take even a second coat. Don't take a purse. Don't even take a change of clothes." "Well, see there, Brother Copeland, he wanted them all to be poor." Now, wait a minute. Don't alter the word with your religion. No. In Luke's gospel, he gathered them all together right there at the close just before he went to the cross. He said, "Let me ask you something. Did you lack anything?" They said, "No, Lord, we lacked nothing." Why did he tell them that? He said, "Look, you're going to work for me. You don't bring anything. I'll provide. I will take care of you." And he took care of all of them in ways that they never heard of, on a better level than they had ever seen. And they had all heard the same thing that he said to this man. The man on his staff that went sour was his treasurer. The man that was director of the ministry, that was entrusted with the money. And he didn't know Jesus knew it. Now at the Last Supper, you see something about Jesus. You learn something about his style. And he's dealing with Judas. And before the evening is over, it's late, way up into the night. And Judas gets up and leaves the room, middle of the night. And they thought he was going to give to the poor. Now, what kind of a giving reputation does a man have for there to be a middle of the night situation, and he says something to the treasurer? They don't know he's been stealing, but Jesus knows it. And he gets up and leaves, and they think he's going to go give to the poor. Obviously, Jesus had done this in the middle of the night before. Amen. Now, are you ready for this? This is exciting. If this man had agreed, I'm in my heart satisfied about this. If this man had said, "Yea, Lord, I will, at your word, I'll sell what I have and give to the poor." Now, Jesus had already said, "Come and follow me." We're going to do some real giving to the poor here. We're going to do some real giving into the work of God. He offered this man apostleship. I'm satisfied that he was Judas' replacement. And he missed it. Now, they were astonished. So, a bunch of poor men would have said, "See there, I told you, them rich cats ain't getting in here. They're not going to make it. We're the ones that's going to make it." No, they were astonished and said, how could anybody? Actually, what they said, how can any of us be saved? How can any of us be saved? So what did Jesus say? He went away grieved. Jesus looked around about and said to his disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" Well, that stirred them up more. His disciples were astonished at his word. Jesus answered again and said unto them, "Children." Now, why would he call them children? They're acting like little kids. "Children, how hard it is for them that trust in their riches enter into the kingdom of God." What's he talking about, the kingdom of God? It's God's way of doing things. How does he do things? Totally different from the way the world does it. So, how can they enter into the way God does things? They were astonished out of measure. Well, now that really got to them. They were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, "Who can be saved?" And Jesus looked upon them and said, "With men it's impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." And Peter began to say unto him, "We have left all and have followed you." We left it all. They left the biggest catch of fish in the history of the Galilee. They left everything. They left their own wealth. Did you know they have excavated Peter's home? They found all the foundations and everything of his home. And they said, this is the home of a very wealthy man. Well, Jesus, well, I ain't got time to get in there. All right. Verily, I'm telling you the truth. Now listen, there's no man, say no man.
No man.
No man. And when I first saw that the first time, I said, well, praise God, I'm a no man. That included me. There's no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, and lands with persecutions. Now, when the power of God comes and you start receiving 100-fold, we read it over there in the 112th Psalm, I guarantee you there are going to be some folks gnash their teeth. They're going to scream and holler, persecution's coming. So he's just letting you know that it's coming. So go ahead and brace up for it. Praise God. You're in the blessing.
Today, I'm very thankful for my family, for my children and my grandchildren, and for their spouses, and are just having a good family foundation, that we all love each other and that we have good times together. And I'm very thankful for this country that I live in and for the freedoms that we currently enjoy.
I think I'm like most people. I'm thankful for God's goodness in my life. And for me, that starts with, of course, an amazing wife and two great sons. And I'm really thankful to be living in a country that I still believe is the greatest on the face of the earth, in a country where we still have a voice and we can still make a difference, not only in this country, but in people's lives. And so there's so many things I think to be grateful for and thankful for, but most of all is the goodness and graciousness of God.
I'm thankful for the plan of God for families that He's orchestrated before the foundation of the world, for families to be together, and He makes a way for them to stay together, and how the plans for your children work with your plan, and that even though they grow up, that He makes a way for it to work together. And I'm so thankful that He covers the family and He blesses the family.
David Alvarez was raised in Apple Valley, California. As a teenager, he made the decision to honor his mother and father and to walk away from his mistakes. David asked Jesus to be his Savior, and he became motivated to grow spiritually, to prosper, and to achieve great things for the glory of God.
I graduated high school and I acquired my California real estate license about age 18 and a half. And I did one semester of college, you know, but then I said, well, if I get my license, then I'm gonna go all out. Full-time real estate agent, I'm not holding back. I'm gonna learn the business, go out there and make millions. You know, every young man's dream, make millions, right? And if I don't, I said, I'm gonna keep pursuing college. But my passion really wasn't there. I had no drive for school. I was good, got good grades, but my passion wasn't there. I met with this broker, great company. They taught real estate. They taught you the fundamentals and everything. And from there, at the age of 18 and a half, and from that time, I made the decision to walk with the Lord. I was selling real estate. He divinely began to connect people in my life. You know, He connected this, what I call my spiritual dad in the faith. His name is Pastor Rudy Rodriguez. And He invited me to the West Coast Believers Convention in 2006. And from there, the rest is history.
What did you think of your first convention?
Well, I showed up. I knew some of the speakers on there because I had seen them on TV, and I greatly respected the men of God. And I said, well, I'll show up and watch a couple. You know, I figured maybe come one day and maybe two at the most, but that didn't happen. I stayed the whole week. I just canceled every appointment, whatever obligation I had, and I just stayed the whole week. And also, he connected me with the Spanish translation department. There was an open door for me to help out in that area, because I speak still Spanish fluently, and that's it. God put me to work. And when I got those truths, I mean, it was just something that in my spirit that made me just get bigger and bigger, and I knew that this was the Word of God being taught. I knew God did want us to prosper financially, but I didn't understand His system. I didn't understand how it worked, the kingdom of God. I know Brother Copeland calls it the Eden system, but I didn't have an understanding of those things back then. And through those teachings, as I gathered that understanding, I began to learn that This is a failure-proof system.
How did you begin to put that into practice in your life?
I started learning that there was a mission and a purpose for your finances, that it wasn't just about me, myself, and I. There was more than that, you know, and especially as a young man who doesn't have a family in the sense of my personal family, my wife and children, I could do more for the body of Christ. And so God began to show me how to go even past my tithe. You know what I mean? How to use those finances for that. And I began, I started small. I remember I started with $40. Pretty soon I was sowing $400. And it goes higher, you know, $1,000, $2,000, and things like that. And I saw those results. And that's what encouraged me to say, man, God, you're with me. You're with me. But he also gave me wisdom and understanding of the business, how it worked, how to be the best agent, provide a sincere, true service to the people that they can walk out of there winning and also feel that they accomplished their goal.
And God's favor was on you. What did you see? What kind of blessings did you see in business?
I started, you know, you start from selling real estate, $200,000, and pretty soon you sell $1 million real estate. And so when you do those kind of jumps, you know the hand of God is all over that. In 2006, I was top rookie agent of the year. And then in 2007, I was promoted. I also began to teach real estate. And I had a team that was working with me.
So this happened after one convention. Mm-hmm. Did you come back?
Oh, definitely. I was here in West Coast Believers 2007. My spiritual dad, he told me, you know, he kind of dropped in my spirit. He says, you need to be at ORU. I was like, ORU? What you talking about, ORU? You know? He said, pray about it, meditate it. That's all I'm going to tell you. The Lord will show you what you got to do. But as I prayed with God, he gave me confirmation and said, no, you know what your calling is in life. And yes, I've caused you to be successful in business, but your calling is in ministry. And that doesn't mean that you can't be personally blessed in finances and come back to business, but you need to fulfill this. And I'll make sure everything else comes about. Towards around November, I applied for Oral Roberts University. They accepted me. And then by January, I was flying to Tulsa. And I was there in January. So it was an exciting part to come back as a student. And that was a different thing. Definitely, you know, give or take three years of business to students, it's a big change, but it was an exciting one. I'm there for Pastoral Christian Ministries. That's my degree, with a minor looking to do biblical languages. And my purpose for that is to not only acquire the education, but also to prepare myself spiritually even more, so that way when I do go out and minister to people, it can be a ministry of excellence in every area.
So income is still coming in for the business?
It's still coming in, thank God.
Was that enough to help you get started in school? Were you able to take care of the financial end of what you needed to become a student?
Definitely. I mean, one of the things I told God was, God, I ain't going unless you pay it all. And thank God, first year, we've already seen that miracle happen.
So paid for?
Paid for, full in cash.
Praise God.
Yeah.
You are in the right place at the right time.
I am. That's one of the things I say every day over my life. I'm at the right place at the right time with the right people. And now my family, my seed, my future generations won't see lack, won't see poverty. They'll walk now in another level of blessing and anointing that will happen because of these teachings of the Word of God, the uncompromised Word of God being preached and taught, that was taught through this ministry in my life. And now I can only see that we go from faith to faith, glory to glory, and strength to strength.
Decision one, make Jesus the Lord of your life.
Amen.
All things, all the future is in Him. Now, if Jesus is not your Lord, you actually, your future is already planned out for you, and it ain't nothing but hell.
That's right.
It's bad while you're on the earth, and it gets worse from there. But if you make Jesus the Lord of your life, your future's in Him. Now, God has already planned before the foundation of the world a glorious, wealthy, rich, wonderful path for you to walk in that is so abundant that
Hallelujah.
It's beyond what you can ask or think, but it's in Jesus.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, the second step, he had a mentor. He had a man that helped father him and preach to him and take care of him. He had a pastor that was willing to give himself into his future, which brought him into the Word, brought him into faith. You don't have to be 30 or 40 years old to do it. This young man is 18 years old. God just started blessing him right there in business. You can't be 18 years old and get blessed out there in the business world like that. They demand you and all of this, that. But God doesn't care how old you are if you trust Him to be at the right place at the right time. So, Jesus Himself said, anyone that comes unto me, I will for no reason cast him out. He also said, don't trust in uncertain riches. Mm-hmm. Seek the kingdom of God. Seek me. Seek His word. Seek God. And when you do, you seek God, He's everything. Now, forget about religion. Religion is poverty-stricken. Religion is man's idea of what God thinks he ought to be, what God then died, blah, blah, blah. Get into the Word.
That's right.
Stay in the Word
Find
of God.
The truth.
It is not a Word that takes from you. It is a God and His Word that gives, and the Word says His promises are yes and amen. It didn't say, well, part of His promises is no. No, that ain't right. That's a lie from hell. That's a religious lie. Now, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to pray with Gloria and me right now. Now, listen to this. The Word is nigh you, even in your mouth. If you confess that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. Pray this with Gloria and me. Oh, God in heaven.
Oh, God in heaven.
I believe with all my heart.
I believe with all my heart.
Jesus has been raised from the dead.
Jesus has been raised from the dead.
Come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
Come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
I repent of sin.
I repent of sin.
I renounce the past.
I renounce the past.
And you're my future.
And you are my future.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
I receive it today.
I receive it today.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, if you prayed that with Gloria and me, get online. We want to send you these five little books, free and postpaid, to help you get started reading and studying your Bible. Ah, hallelujah. We'll see you tomorrow. And remember, Jesus is Lord.
If we'll just believe in the Holy Spirit in us that has all the answers, we can have peace.
Imagine getting up every morning and thinking about God's plan for your life. Getting up every morning and thinking about God's promise. That's faith.
We are called to sit with Him, to rule with Him in heavenly places. We have been crowned with glory and honor.
Those that have a covenant with God are thriving in the midst of what someone might call a depressed economy.
All of Him does all of it. So there isn't a disease that a touch of Him won't take care of.
Quit majoring on what you think you don't have and rejoice over what's already on the inside.
The first ever Copeland family meeting was held in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland's children and grandchildren came together and brought the good news of God's Word.
Just so refreshing to have the giftings that are in the children to be imparted to us, and I just was so blessed and refreshed.
Examine yourself. Ask yourself, what am I looking at? What is my source? Ask the Lord to help you be real honest with yourself. Because if the Lord is your source, the day you make Him your source, things turn around.
Rise up and conquer in Jesus' name. That's faith to overcome life's circumstances, life's problems, life's challenges, life's obstacles.
I just really like a lot of the things you're bringing out in this weekend. Talking about the Word, standing on the Word, believing the Word, but then bringing that like Spirit-led, you know, saturation of the Holy Ghost. It's just been awesome.
God never quits. If your life is not changing, if your family is not changing, if your finances are not changing, if your weight is not changing, it's because you don't know God in that way. You don't know Him. He said, I am Jehovah. He is your provider.
They're just being themselves. They're enjoying. So they not only believe it, but you can see they live it.
Heaven's economy is in good condition. Heaven's economy is strong today. And you and I need to have a revelation of walking in heaven's economy, walking in heaven's system,
not earth system, but walking in the realm of the supernatural.
You know, Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. However much he came to destroy, Jesus has more life than that. Whatever it is, a little bitty thing, he's got enough life to cover it. Great big thing, he's got enough life to cover it. And he came to get it to you.
The anointing was like flowing through them. And that was really awesome.
You believe there's a God, but just as convinced that you are that there is a God, you're convinced and persuaded he's good. He is a good God.
I feel like they're family, so I came to see family. But I can tell you that it actually exceeded my expectations. It definitely exceeded my expectations.
The Copeland family, we're here for you. If you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life today, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland welcome you to the family of God. They've put together a 5-book package to help you get started learning your Bible and understanding who you are in Christ Jesus. For faster processing, order your salvation package through our website at kcm.org. Take hold of the promises of God and let the glory of the Lord shine in your life. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you on the next Believer's Voice of Victory.
Crazy, mixed up, goofy world to know the one we celebrate, the creator of all life, to have Jesus living in your heart. All you have to do is pray and you'll have Jesus. You'll have Jesus. You have Christmas each and